Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Anna Ambrose, and on behalf of Design Centre Chelsea Harbour, I'd like to wish you a very warm welcome to our Conversation in Design series. Before we begin, please can I just ask that you make sure your mobile phones are switched off. Thank you. So to our conversation this afternoon, which is entitled Hotels Set Sail, it's been hosted by the leading magazine for hotel design, development and architecture, Sleeper, and I'm delighted to introduce the magazine's editor, Catherine Martin. She is joined by our expert panel this afternoon. We've got Ariane Steinbeck from RPW Design, one of the world's leading hospitality interior design practices. Ariane's award-winning career has spanned the USA, Asia and Europe. Andy Yule from SMC. He has over 25 years' experience in design and has worked internationally on many large-scale, high-profile projects. And Emma Masters from Richmond International, who heads the FF&E side of projects and has been involved in the creation of some of Richmond's most iconic hotel and marine projects. Please do join me in giving them a warm welcome. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us this afternoon in what promises to be a fascinating insight into the world of hotels on water. As Anna said, I'm Catherine Martin, managing editor of Sleeper Group's three magazines. We have Sleeper, which focuses on hotel design. We have Supper, which looks at, that's how heavy they are, Supper, which looks at hotel F&B, and our newest edition, which is Starboard, which addresses the market of hospitality models such as cruise ships, riverboats, sleeper trains, and even the forthcoming advent of commercial space shuttles. This is hot off the press, and you're actually the very first people to see Starboard in the flesh. We will have copies of both Starboard and Sleeper available at Chelsea Harbour tomorrow, so if you need a reason to come back, there it is. Otherwise, if you leave your business card with me at the end, I'll happily send you a copy. So when we started to discuss this session with the team at Chelsea Harbour, we decided early on that this would be a good launch pad for the magazine, and I'm delighted to welcome on stage today three panellists whose work feature in the very first issue. I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves in just a moment, but the mix of speakers that we have on stage today really represents what's been happening in the cruise ship industry. There's the likes of Andy from SMC, who specialises in the design of ocean-faring vessels. And then there's Richmond and RPW, who come from more of a traditional hotel design background and have been asked to bring their expertise to the world of luxury travel. And this is where transport and hospitality really come together. What's interesting over the past 12 months is that we've seen hotel operators strengthening their business model in investing in non-traditional models. So there's the likes of Ritz-Carlton, which is one of Marriott International's brands. They've announced a new fleet of ships. Virgin, which launched into the hotel sector in 2015 with a hotel in Chicago. They're entering the sector in 2020. It's Minor Hotels in Asia, who are offering river cruises along the Mekong on a luxury 13-cabin barge. And then there's the likes of Four Seasons, Anantara, Puro Hotels, who are partnering with private jet companies to replicate their brand experience in the air. So we're going to focus on cruise ship design today, discussing the challenges and opportunities of designing hotels on water. So let's meet the panel. Ariane, would you like to kick us off?
Sure. My name is Ariane Steinbeck. I'm the managing director of RPW Design. I joined RPW in 2015, late 2015, when I acquired it. And my background, as was already mentioned, is hospitality design in both the U.S. and Asia, as well as Europe. And I have a very strong passion for food and beverage and luxury travel. And the cruise sector is really one of the sectors that had always interested me, and we're finally able to do them.
Andy?
Hi, good afternoon. Andy Yule, Managing Director of SMC Design. I've been involved in the marine industry since the late 1980s, when my company, as it was then, were working with Crystal, Royal Caribbean. And we've been very fortunate that we have had a continued involvement since then. So I'm looking at nearly 30 years now of involvement within the marine industry. Recently, we've completed the latest Viking Ocean vessel, Orion, for Dream Cruises for the Genting Group, Genting World. We just recently completed a little ferry that goes to the Isle of Wight for Whitelink, called Victoria of Wight. So their projects are recently completed, and at the moment we're working with Genting, Dream Cruises, we're working with Saga, we're working with Disney, we are working with MSC, NCL, and apologies, I think I've missed one, but I can't remember. But yes, we've been very fortunate over the years to have been involved in this industry for a long time, to see it grow, to see it develop.
Thank you. Last but not least, Emma.
I'm Emma Masters from Richmond, and I'm an associate there, and our background is predominantly hotel design, high-end hotels. We kind of got into the cruise industry by one of the clients seeing a spa that we did for a Four Seasons hotel, and they liked that so much that they asked us to do a spa on one of their princess ships, and from there we kind of built a relationship with Carnival and have done several princess ships and a few for P&O, and we're currently working with Cunard on a new ship.
Thank you. I should say we have images of some of these projects running in the screens behind us. So, Andy, I'd like to start with you, seeing that you've been around the longest in this industry. So tell us, what have you seen happen over the last 12 months? Has there been a boom? And if so, why now?
Well, yeah, the market is very buoyant. More cruise companies are... Existing cruise companies are continuing to add to their fleets. They're continuing to improve their fleets. They're continuing to improve their brands. There are new players coming onto the market as well now. There are, you know, the demographic of who you're catering to is increasing all the time. You're now catering to from younger people to people in the later years of their life. There are many different markets, and it's just that this is being seen as an opportunity for the various cruise companies and new cruise companies to add to this, from river boats up to mega ships. There are demands for many different types of vessels. And that, I believe, will continue to grow. And also you have to remember that the old tonnage has to be replaced. There's a lot of old tonnage out there, vessels that have been around for 20 years plus. Those companies have to keep replacing those vessels. They have to keep themselves current.
Wouldn't you think that as the hotel industry has become so much more segmented, that the cruise industry is sort of catching up? They're targeting a specific market. I think when most people think of cruise, they may think of your grandfather and grandmother tottering about, but really there's efforts to attract a younger market and a more, a variety of...
Very much so. I mean, I think your perceived idea of your grandmother and your grandfather tottering about, that has not been the cruise industry for some time. That's a preconceived idea, which I think is wrong. For a long time, for the last 10, 15 years, the cruise industry has been developing. Better brands have been created. Your perceived idea is something that the owners and the designers have worked against. There are so many markets out there. Retirement, young people, gay people, all sorts of different markets that exist for the cruise industry. And also, all over the world, there are whole new untapped markets that exist, which, again, so, I mean, we say China, SMC, we've been designing in Asia for over 20 years with the Star Cruises Genting Group. Mm-hmm. We were very fortunate to have been involved in that market, to get an understanding of that market. But there's a huge market there, a huge untapped market, which we will have all new brands again coming out to cater for these new areas. So, yeah, it will keep developing.
We're hearing that millennials are actually the fastest growing market. Is that something you'd agree with?
Possibly. I think from what we're seeing from P&O and possibly Cunard, it's like, I think it's the nostalgia and the idea of the kind of marine travel that people are liking, and that it's a captured market that they've got potentially 2 weeks on something that they're going to explore and see every last detail of, that actually being able to see quite a lot of different destinations within that is quite interesting and exciting. And I think more people are used to design in general. It's not just you know, it's everyone's interested in the details of things, how the quality and how things are made, and I think that's coming through into the cruise ships that we're working on.
And Emma, you mentioned that you've built up a relationship with P&O and the projects that you're working on. How did that first come about? Had they seen your hotel work, or is it something that you actively sought at Richmond?
Yeah, I mean, like I was saying, it was we did a Four Seasons hotel in Hampshire, and I think one of the clients had been to the spa, really liked it, and they thought, okay, maybe we need to look at something else and maybe try these guys out for an area, because more often than not, cruise ships, they're so big that they're broken down into different design companies. Because, I mean, we did Britannia, for example, which is seen on the screen there. We did the whole ship, which it's quite a task to take on. But generally, it's broken down into smaller firms. So at first, we started by doing the spa on a princess ship. And from there, I think it was really well received. And from that, we then got to do the Britannia for P&O, where we did the whole ship, which was quite an eye-opener and obviously a completely different market for us. So we were just trying to bring our hotel experience in terms of what people want from a hotel and how that can translate onto a cruise ship, because I think the principles are the same. It is that you've got a captured market that you can potentially cater for everybody's needs for everything, because people can't necessarily get off and go somewhere else. So you've got to have a bit of something for everyone and something exciting, and trying to create those experiences that seem to be, you know, valuable for creating your holiday memories and that kind of thing.
Now, Rihanna, I'd just like to go back a step again and talk about how you first became involved in the cruise sector. Did you have any reservations, or is it something you jumped at the chance at?
We really jumped at the chance. Before I joined, we did some work for Saga, and we jumped at the chance to do work with P&O, and we did two refits, meaning renovations, last year, which were very well received, and that really led us to many new opportunities within P&O that we're actively pursuing. So, you know, from a design standpoint, it's my opinion that I think the cruise ship industry has a ways to catch up in terms of the quality of the design. But with new projects coming out, you'll see they look more and more like hotels. And as you said, it's captive, and you want to offer different things in the same realm, which is the same as you do in hotels. And I think people in general, the market has become so much more knowledgeable about design and demand a nicer environment. And, you know, it's quite difficult to do in the marine sector, because the things you can use are very limited. So,
and there's potentially thousands of guests rather than hundreds of guests, which, you know, changes the dynamic of things. You know, it's trying to have those kind of intimate and formal dinners, and like informal dinners are quite difficult to have kind of smaller groups, but it's trying to create those small moments and small areas that you can still have those retreats and getaways from, with still having 6,000 passengers potentially on board.
Yeah, and we're seeing sort of signature restaurants, various different bars, lounges, leisure facilities. Is this something that the client's asking for, or do you think it's consumer-driven?
It's the, at the end of the day, the client will come up with a brief at the beginning of what they believe they should have. We work with many of our clients where we will also inject with our ideas when we look at the overall planning of a vessel, location of areas, what the restaurants will be, what the bars will be, the offering. The offering is very important. I mean, the clients have to keep improving the offering, because that's why you have passengers who keep coming back. I'll go back to one of the points you made just a moment ago about it's difficult to design a vessel because of the materials available. I have to disagree with that. The materials that are available are the materials that are available. We work within that. And it's our responsibility to make sure that they're used, but we don't get the comment of, it's just another cruise ship, and, you know, because of the materials. And that's become a far greater challenge, that to especially with the Viking vessels that you're looking at here. These are not large ships, very well received. We're on to number 6 of these now, but they definitely don't look like cruise ships. But every material on board that is IMO, certified, fit for purpose. And we had to work very hard with the shipyard to achieve the visual appearance. But it came in on budget, wasn't a compared to the reference vessel. So that's our responsibility, to work hard with what is available.
Yeah, but it's the reality. There's so little to choose from, because you have to adhere to very strict flammability codes as well as weight restrictions, and you usually have a height restriction in most areas of the ship. So it absolutely takes a very creative and knowledgeable designer and a very experienced designer to be able to create that same environment that is fairly easy to create on land. And we've also have found that the method of procurement is very different from a hotel, in that you have a definitive end date when the vessel is in the shipyard, and that date doesn't move. So you have to be there. And if your things aren't there, the vessel will float away and you'll have to catch up with it later on. And therefore, maybe last minute substitutions may be made by somebody who's not necessarily a designer. And that makes the final outcome very challenging.
But in regard to that, because yes, we do work to schedules, tight schedules, but we are aware of these schedules beforehand. We know the time that we have. So it's the materials, the furniture, the everything. We, with new build, we do have lead time. There is time building up to that. So once we've produced the design, the concept with the client, we then have the time with the yard to actually, the time is there. And yes, it does all come down to schedules. And right. Yet there should be no last minute on a new build, because everything should already be purchased. And
or if somebody doesn't order what they're supposed to.
This is a passionate subject. Materials is something that I was going to come on to later, but let's talk about it now, because it's a completely different ballgame to the hotel industry.
Completely.
And I think hotels, we're used to things running over. And if a hotel opens on time, it's a miracle. So I'd just like to read out some statistics, which are from Symphony of the Seas, which was the world's largest cruise ship, which set sail earlier this year, just to give you an idea of what goes on board. So it weighs more than 17,000 African elephants. It accommodates a record-breaking 6,680 passengers. It's made up of 500,000 individual parts, and it took a 5,000-strong workforce 3 years to build. There's 35,000 metres squared of custom carpet, 13,000 pieces of art, that's more than the Louvre. It has 29 restaurants, kitted out with 5,000 dining chairs, and somewhere in the region of 20,000 pieces of cutlery. So if you're a supplier, I would recommend going to the cruise ship industry. I mean, the numbers are just absolutely colossal. So you're obviously having challenges. What can the industry do to help you?
Again, this is my personal opinion, but I saw it to be true in that, again, a method of procurement needs to be more streamlined, perhaps within the ship owner's internal organization, coordinating very closely with the shipyard. Also, I found that there are many more liberties that the shipyard takes that hotel contractors cannot take anymore. And so the final control is a bit tricky. I think it would be great if... And I've experienced some of the best service from suppliers when we were doing the two refits. If the suppliers also became very knowledgeable in terms of how fast we need it, how we can ensure that the actual specified material actually gets installed through the whole many hands that purchase orders have to go through.
Mm. I mean, we, in answer to that, the project management with new build and refurbishment is incredibly important, because it is our responsibility to make sure that what is finally built is what we have sold to our clients. So we have to be with new build on site, dealing with the contractors, representing the client on board the vessels, watching what is being installed. Yes, we have gone through the whole procedure of checking drawings, signing off materials. So we know what shall be used, and there's an agreement at that point. So the final product is, we understand what it will be. We shouldn't really have any shocks, especially with new build. New build is very clear, it's very black and white what will be built, because you always have a wonderful amount of information that is produced by the shipyard and their contractors. So it's quite clear.
And I know you all use Chelsea Harbour as a resource for finding materials. Chelsea Harbour has its own Super Yacht Design Week. There's a new cruise ship design show in Miami, which I know you're involved in, Andy. How important are these shows? Are these helping you find materials?
Material-wise, I have a great FF&E team within the office. Again, I have a lot of experience in there. We've built this up over many, many years. So everything that's within the company is suitable to be used. Yes, we do introduce other companies. We will work with companies to get IMO certification if there are certain materials that we want to use. Yes, it does take time. It comes down to whether that company actually wants to fall in that direction. But we have been able to introduce new companies into the cruise industry because of, you know, they see the benefit of it.
It takes time and money, and we found vendors to be very interested in cooperating with us and doing something that's new and refreshing. I think from a general standpoint, cruise design is improving simply because, as I said before, people demand better design. And, you know, very similar to hotel design, there are quite a few of us out there. And I think in general, competition actually helps to lift the general level of the design. Mm. So the more people enter it, the better it gets.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I think a great fact of life.
Yeah, I think we've noticed, because when we started, we had not very much idea of IMO. And it's a massive learning curve, and it's trying to work out what you can use and what you can't use. And we struggled at first. And like you say, over time, you build up your library and you know what you can use and what you can't and what limitations you have got. And actually, we're working quite closely with a lot of the suppliers to try and develop custom products, custom foils, which is a whole new ball game, which is almost like a sticky back plastic, which you don't even think you're going to use until you do a cruise ship, but you can do some quite nice things with it, believe it or not. And fabric companies, I mean, the quantities involved are huge. So I'm quite surprised there's not more companies
because
wanting to get in.
It
really
IMO
is.
Because of
the quantities. Yeah, absolutely. If you get into a cabin, it could be potentially thousands and thousands of metres, or, you know, if a light fitting goes in, it's thousands, it's not hundreds. So it's a very lucrative market if you can get into it. But the quality has to be there, and obviously the price has to be competitive.
When you're saying the products that you can't use, what do you mean by that? What can you not use? Is it the weight restriction, or...?
There is a weight restriction, and with fabrics, they have to have an IMO certification. Certain clients would accept it can be treated to IMO, but a lot of them won't. There's a certain limitation to timber because obviously it's combustible. In terms of tile sizes, you have to use quite small tile sizes, which is a bit, from a hotel background, is quite hard and unusual to do, but you kind of get around it and do some, actually, it challenges you and it makes you
but
kind of do interesting things.
That comes down to the fact that the shipyard won't guarantee anything bigger than
this
150
is it.
By 150.
Yeah.
Whereas we've had clients who, when we've told them about this, they've gone mad. And we then said the shipyard sign it off that it is not their responsibility, but
yeah,
we use larger pieces.
Yeah.
And to be honest,
it's
never
probably
had
okay,
any
isn't
problem.
It? Yeah,
no,
I think the shipyard is a bit of a sticking point as well. We found doing Britannia that there were certain things we had to really fight them on. Kind of table bases were huge, and it was the actual fix, because sometimes you have to fix tables to the floor because of the movement. And there were certain things that just looked so overscaled, and we were trying to question, why is it like that? Does it have to be as big? You know, certain things that in a hotel world you wouldn't necessarily have to look at. But there was always a bit of a wall there, and it was just gradually trying to break down that wall to get where you wanted to be or as close to it as you could do. And we did get there eventually, but it wasn't easy. There was always a bit of a wall there because it's not been done before, or there they want to just do it the same as they've done before and that kind of thing.
But this is why companies coming in who are coming from a hotel background, from a land-based background, only improves the industry, because you bring knowledge with you which changes how things are done.
Yeah.
The design changes, that improves. So, you know, I like to see new companies getting involved. There is so much work out there. There's so much tonnage being built. It needs more companies. And there has been, in the last 10 years, a large influx of new design companies in the marine industry, which is a very healthy thing.
That's interesting that you say that, because, I mean, Virgin, for example, are one that have specifically gone for designers who have never designed a cruise ship before, never even set foot on a cruise ship before. So it's interesting that from your background you see that as a positive too.
Well, yeah, I mean, Virgin have done the way of, they've gone to use various design companies, and then they're building in Fincantieri in Italy. Fincantieri in Italy, they provide a service where they will marinize everything. So you will get all the designs, and then they go to Fincantieri, they have their own drawing offices, they will then produce all the details, so it works. So that's one way of doing it. Disney used to do that as well. They did that with the two ships they built in Meyerwerft. So there's just different ways of doing it nowadays.
Okay. Well, let's talk about design. In the hotel industry, we talk a lot about sense of place, in which hotels have some sort of link to the city in which they're located. But I guess for cruise ships, they're often sailing between different ports, different cities, often different continents. So how are you bringing a sense of place, authenticity, to your designs, Ariane?
For P&O, we were informed where the ship was going to go until the end of its useful life. And so we knew what the route was. And we found certain shapes and forms and colors that that we blended together to make a carpet pattern that was upscaled and downscaled, and sort of gave a sense of a bit of a sense of place. You can't really duplicate, I think, a sense of place in a floating vessel as much as you can in a hotel, because it has to appeal to a broader segment of the market. But we tried to use carpet patterns and colors also as a wayfinding method, because these ships can be terribly confusing. You have no idea where you are, and you kind of need to know how to get from one place to the next. So,
especially in the corridors, which are very long.
So, just looking at it with a fresh eye and thinking, what can we do with the things that are available to us, with the tools that are available to us to make it work? So, we have a lot of interest in carpet design.
I mean, going back to your question of a sense of place, I think the branding of the various cruise lines has improved incredibly in the last 10, 15 years as well. It's no longer the eclectic mixture of areas that I'm walking from. I'm walking from green to red to blue, where there's such a diverse transition across fire zones, because we build ships in fire zones. I remember ships where you literally would go from blue to red. But that was because that was the client's brand at that time. But I would say that all owners, all cruise lines are now developing brands which are unique to them. And that is the place. That is what the passengers understand. When they come back to the ship, they're there because they like this brand. And so to me, that's the reason.
I totally agree with that as well. I think to create a sense of place on a cruise ship is really difficult, because, okay, at this point it's going here, there, maybe to New York, but in its future it may go to the Caribbean or it may go to Europe. So we're finding it's definitely more about the brand and what do people expect from the brand, and they still want to challenge themselves and make a better version of themselves, but it's not so much about the place, it's about the brand. I would totally agree.
And it's really striking to me how loyal the customers are to not only the brand, but a particular ship. There's a lot of repeat customers. And for a ship, I'm not surprised that there's many more ships, because it is way more lucrative to run a cruise ship than it is a land-based hotel. You would be surprised at how little the expenditure is for food and beverage, that basically you pay for in advance. and how far that budget is stretched to give you three meals a day. I think it was under 15 U.S. dollars I had heard at a conference, and I couldn't believe it. Also, the staffing, even though there's a large amount of staffing available on the ships, but you're basically dealing with a labor force that's there for a certain amount of time and doesn't leave, almost always on. And that kind of enables the brand to provide a service that creates that loyalty to the brand. And I found it really... It has a lot of similarities with the hotel business, but also so many different aspects. But from a money-making perspective, it is very, very lucrative to run a cruise ship, much more so than a hotel.
Yeah. I think ships as well, they're usually a female, so it's always a she. And people talk about it as she's beautiful, I'm going to go on her. You know, it's almost like it's a person, and it's got a spirit of its own. And you don't hear that so much as hotels. It's got a personality, basically, and those people go back every time because they want to visit like an old friend and kind of that bar that they've had good memories in. It's like a part of their family in a way.
And what is it that the guest is looking for? Are they looking for a cohesive design scheme? Are they wanting different experiences in different parts of the ship?
Cost, destination, they're very important.
Okay.
Yes, they may cruise with NCL, they may cruise with MSC, they may have their particular choice. They become quite faithful to these brands. They like to see the familiarity, but they also like to see something new. They like to see an addition. They probably don't like to see something that perhaps has been removed, which they are used to and they're comfortable with.
Right.
So that's a negative. Destination is very important, which is outside of the vessel completely. But yeah, destination is incredibly important about where the vessel will go. What is the additional activity of that they will be involved with?
I think also, you know, guests can sometimes be on these cruise ships for months. So in terms of cabins, there's a huge amount of storage required, but it has to be obviously very cleverly designed in because the spaces are relatively small. So it's just trying to make use of every nook and cranny, because people have sometimes obviously lovely long ball gowns and beautiful outfits, but they have to last for the 2 months and those items need to go somewhere. So that's quite a challenge to try and, you know, get as much storage in as required for the amount of luggage someone has to bring on board. But like you say, it's the experience. I think people are looking for experiences and familiarity, but with a sense of nostalgia of what they're wanting to come back to.
I agree with that. And also, I think similar to what used to be a trend in the hospitality business, the thought of having a celebrity chef on board that has a particular restaurant. Not sure how many of you have been on cruise ships, but basically you get a certain amount of meals per day, but then you can have other experiences and you have to pay a little additional, which is also very profitable for the cruise ship owner. So you want to create a destination within that destination of it being the ship. So I think from a cohesiveness standpoint, people are always looking for getting their money's worth, whatever that may be. You know, that can be on any luxury level or medium level. You have to provide something that makes the guest feel that they've gotten a great deal.
Well, let's find out, show of hands, who's been on a cruise? Okay. Who would consider going on a cruise having seen the beautiful images? And what about up here on stage? Had you guys been on a cruise before you designed one? Or have you been on one yet?
I haven't been on a cruise beforehand. I've been on several ships since working with P&O and Cunard and Princess. And yeah, they're all completely different and they've all got their own personalities, and definitely things are moving forward as well, which is exciting. There's lots of new and interesting, and actually ships have so many different people to cater for and to, you know, you know, certain ships obviously are catered for families, so they have all the kind of crazy slides, and you know, the technology is amazing what you can get on the ships, and everything's got to be new, and that's, you know, that's something that's quite exciting about what's next, what's new. And it's hard when you're designing something 4 years in advance to go, right, what's going to be new then, you know? Will that last? Has it got kind of legs? Which is not always the easy thing, but...
Well, the facilities on some of the larger ships are absolutely crazy. Zip lines and water parks.
Whatever you can think of is probably on a cruise ship somewhere, generally.
There's one with a racing track as well.
Yeah,
yeah, we have go-kart tracks now in sail ships. They just have to keep pushing the offer. They have to keep having this unique offering. Why am I going to go on this big ship? I'm going to go on this big ship because I can go on a go-kart track. I can go in virtual reality simulators. I can go, whatever it is, they have to keep improving that. I mean, what they're doing now, almost 20 years ago, we were putting roller coasters on top of a ship. It never happened. If it had happened, we would have been years in front of everybody else. But it didn't happen for whatever reason. But they have to keep, again, that's the offering. Especially when you're talking about these large vessels which have 3,500, 4,000. You know, we're working on a ship at the moment that can have up to 10,000 people on board it. That's including crew at peak season. 10,000 people.
That's great.
It's huge. But there's a market for that.
Yeah.
So there's a market for that, and there's a market for a river ship.
Yep.
And that all falls within my industry. So that's the wonderful thing about it.
There's something for everyone, really, isn't there?
It's...
Well, I'm going to come to questions in a moment, so get your thinking caps on. But Andy, I'd like to ask you, these guys have spoken about challenges in materials. What for you is the biggest challenge going forwards?
The biggest challenge I find, and something you touched on with your Britannia, is, and also the biggest excitement, is creating brand, creating a prototype. When you have a new client, where you have, and if you are fortunate, you actually design everything. Which we did on the Dream Cruises vessels. Two ships came out 2017, 2016. The challenge there was the fact that we were responsible for every single piece of design on board, from carpets to artwork to signage to all of the OSE to everything. But a wonderful experience, because this unique experience of having such an overall responsibility of design. So, you know, myself and the team at SMC Design, that is, to me, is a huge challenge, and that is exciting. That's going back to brand, creating something new. And we've been doing a similar thing recently with Saga, where again we've produced the new build next year. Again, that's a whole new brand for them. So that's the challenge. That's exciting.
It really helps the flow if you can do the whole thing as well, because if there are several different companies and everyone's got completely different ideas, I mean, currently we're getting together on a project that we're working on, and actually it's been great trying to create some kind of DNA for the project, for the brand, that then we all have to work from, rather than previously we have worked quite individually, and we come together for certain parts, and then sometimes it doesn't always work because there is that clash of the carpets, or there's the red and the green, and it's, you know, if you can work together as the companies that are actually working on it, it works much better. But obviously, if you get the whole ship, it's brilliant, because you can really think about the flow and how you move through the space and that kind of thing, which is really exciting.
But this also goes back to the owners now, that the owners have to have themselves a far clearer understanding of what they want, of their brand. Because if they're going to engage with 3, 4, 5 different design companies, they have a responsibility to make sure that we don't go all off in different directions.
Yeah.
So from the word go, we have a basic understanding of the direction, and then we start to build it.
Yeah.
I mean, in the very early days, you might get 2 areas, 3 areas, and you would design them in a particular way. There'd be another design company designing something next door to you, totally different.
Mm.
And that's, I think, the old, how you would view cruise ships, that there was this...
That's hence the incohesive look and, you know, the insult to one's aesthetics.
Yes, but that's what a cruise ship was. Right. That was, at that point, how they branded it. And so, you know, it's improved so much since then.
Good. Okay, any questions from the audience? There must be somebody. Do we have a microphone? We've got a lady in row 3.
Hello, I'm Caitlin from Ultimate Library. We do bespoke book collections for hotels and resorts and are interested in potentially maybe working on a cruise ship or a vessel of some kind. I was curious about the new market for someone like Ritz-Carlton starting this sort of a much smaller vessel and doing an intimate kind of cruise experience compared to a bigger and bigger cruise where you have to have roller coasters and go-kart tracks. How do you envision Ritz-Carlton or a similar brand going smaller? Actually, how are they going to differentiate in terms of design or amenities to attract potentially a more exclusive clientele?
To whom are you addressing?
Oh,
just to anyone?
To everyone. Okay. Who wants to jump on in?
I think it's, you know, in the hotel industry, we say it's about not designing a hotel, but creating the experience. And I believe that with Ritz-Carlton, given their market standing and their market segmentation, I think it will very much align with their hotel offering. And answer, actually, to the earlier question, I would never even consider going in a ship with 10,000 people. That's not my style. But, you know, because the market is getting more segmented and because they're more exciting offerings and because the design is better, yes, that would be something I would consider spending my money on. And I would find that from a market perception of Ritz-Carlton, that people have a certain expectation that there will be ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen, which is their line. So I think it's very exciting.
Yeah, it just comes down to choice again. You have a population, they all want to do different things. So whether you want to go on Ritz-Carlton or whether you want to go on Oasis of the Seas, there's choice. And I want to experience cruising, but I don't want to experience it, as you say, with 5,000 other people, nothing against them, but I want to experience it with 200 other people.
If that is there for you,
then you will do it. If it's not there, you won't do it because you won't want to go on the larger vessels. But that's where the industry goes back to the original question about why is the industry growing, booming at the moment? Because they realise that there's lots of people who want to do it, but want to do it in a different way. Mm. And long may that continue. That's how it's changed in the last 30 years.
I think having been at the press conference in Miami where they announced the Ritz-Carlton Yacht Collection, they're talking a lot, I mean, again, it's back to hotels, they're talking about the lifestyle and the way the hotel market has gone down this lifestyle route, and they want to take their hotel experience to the seas. And then in turn, that will, you know, they'll develop new hotels in the ports of call. So Ritz-Carlton, I think, have been very, very clever in what they're doing. Is there any other questions from the audience? Yes, we've got a lady down the front.
Thank you. Hello. Thank you very much. It's really interesting listening to all of you, so thank you. My name's Sonia, and I've got my own interior design practice in Dorset. Andy, you said that there is scope for more designers to get involved because it's such an enormous market. Obviously, as a fledgling business, I wouldn't want to even consider taking on a 10,000-person super yacht. But how would a smaller company get involved with getting with the design of a yacht or a riverboat cruise or a section of a cruise ship? How would one do that?
Well, you would have to push yourself to those companies involved in that industry, like you would with any other form of design.
Yes, I suppose
so. It's just that you would have to show interest and, as I say, promote your company within those areas.
Is there any specialist marine design training that you did, or was it something that you almost naturally came
into? I trained as an interior designer in Scotland. I came to London. I just happened to walk into a company in 1989, and I'm still there today. I've left twice to go and find something better, and I did not find something better. And I genuinely have loved this market because it's given me continuity of work. It's a fantastic array of design involved in. You're doing a new build. You might have 30, 40 public spaces, plus all of the signage, all of the artwork, everything. It's huge. Mm. So as a designer, it's a wonderful, wonderful market to be involved
exciting.
In.
Okay, we've got another question down the front.
I'd just like to ask the panel, what do they think the future of these residence ships, like the old world and these ships that are made up with, you know, maybe 50 apartments, I mean, is there a future for that? Or
I think there is a future for that. I think what because of the amount of second-hand tonnage that will be becoming available, how are you going to use that tonnage? This is where I think new companies will be clever. You know, these vessels will be past the sell-by date to be in that market, but can they be adapted for other markets, for retirement, for, you know, like the world, for residency-style vessels? Yes, there's going to be... How do you use that tonnage that is out there? So, yeah, and this is what it all comes back to. How can we expand within the cruise industry?
And I also think it has something to do with, you know, the financial terms. You know, it's... You have to figure out, is it better to sell it and for what price versus to find new customers all the time? I think that's a bit tricky, but something like a timeshare model may be something that could be studied. I think in terms of what makes a ship so interesting is that unlike having a second home somewhere, you can basically enter the ship and go elsewhere. Whereas, and I think that's a very attractive... model for somebody who wants to consider an alternate way of retirement, for example.
I agree. I don't think it as a full-time place to live, but I think it's somewhere I could step on and step off of for 2 months, 3 months, whatever I choose, but just to give your later years far more interest and excitement. And yeah, it's a bit like Airbnb. You can spend your life just staying in Airbnb.
High-end Airbnb.
Is there any more questions from the audience? Yeah.
Oh, hello, it's Kat from Pierfo Fabrics. It was just a quick question going back to the point about development of bespoke products from suppliers. We're lucky enough to have some of our fabrics used on various marine projects, and we do have to advise and treat for IMO. But as a brand, Pierfo don't have in-house IMO or even Crib 5 collections. Our approach is very much... People come to us because they're inspired by a fabric we make, and then we reverse engineer to make it work for a commercial project. And I just wondered, since there's so many design elements on these large marine projects, how much appetite and indeed time and energy there is for designers to actually work to develop fabric designs with a supplier manufacturer.
There's definitely appetite. Kind of personally, I've been finding that for fabrics there is a bit of a lack of pattern and an interesting more contemporary pattern within fabrics. So actually I think for Britannia and for the Iona ship that we're currently working on with P&O, we have been working with mills and fabric houses to develop cushion fabrics, for example, and kind of a custom curtain fabric, because I just wasn't finding what I was after. And obviously when you know you've got huge quantities, that it's not a problem. Obviously, sometimes public areas where it's a smaller quantity, that doesn't work so well. But, yeah, and equally, you know it's unique, and it's something you've developed for that project, and it's specifically P&O or Cunard or whoever the brand may be, but it's specific to them, and it's completely unique. So I think definitely there's a huge interest from our part, and I'm sure from everyone else's part to do that.
Reliability.
We'd love much more IMO fabrics. Higher rub tests are definitely a key as well. We're finding that more and more of our brands are working with a 50,000 plus now, which again limits the market down a little bit more for us. So I think higher rub tests, more pattern and more suppliers would be fantastic.
And I think the reliability of a particular supplier, if it's a key fabric in a scheme, for example, I will want to know that can actually be achieved and being able to rely on it, rather than finding out 3 months down the line, oh, can't do that fabric, and you know the whole scheme falls apart. So reliability as a supplier is super, super important, more so even than with land-based.
I think where we're lucky is that with the experience that we have, we know the companies that we can go to where we can develop particular fabrics, vinyls, and that, so we know we can go down a direction knowing that we can achieve this because we've worked with these people. They've worked with us. We've got knowledge of how to work with each other, and that's how we develop.
I see a few collaborations coming on. Okay, I have one last fun question. What would be your dream project ship to design? Would it be one of these big 7,000 passenger, or would it be much more of a bespoke 13 cabin river barge?
I go with a 13 cabin river barge.
Yep. Why?
I find, for me, that it's an element of luxury. The difficulty of attainability has an implied level of luxury to it. And with that level of luxury, there comes a certain client that will look for very innovative and precise design. And that those are the challenges that I'm interested in and RPW is interested in for our customers.
Okay. Andy?
My dream purely is that SMC continues into the future and we continue to service the variety of clients that I do today. I have no particular one type of vessel or size I like. I find the whole industry very interesting.
Good. Emma?
I'd probably go for the smaller ship as well, actually. But we're currently working with Cunard, which is actually a bit of a dream because they're, you know, such a well-known brand and they've got an amazing history. And they're looking to move forward, which is quite exciting because I think everyone knows them very well for what they are. So it's potentially very exciting. So that's quite a dream, actually.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. I hope you found it interesting. I've certainly learned something. So please join me in thanking the panel, Emma, Andy, and Ariane.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to that. Thank you very much for a really fascinating discussion this afternoon. I think your conversation has really put the spotlight on the extent to which the hospitality industry is evolving. We've appreciated your honesty and your very personal perspective, sharing the challenges and opportunities that you face in designing hotels on water. It has really been an eye-opener, so thank you. I'd also like to invite everyone to the Summit showroom straight after this talk for some refreshments. They can be found on the third floor in the North Dome, so please do head there afterwards. But we'd like to say thank you once again. Thank you.